Joe, I really think you nailed it. Oh yeah. I mean, my Twitter feed was bursting with praise for this budget. Things like less awful than expected, pleasantly sufferable, might pass the Senate this time. It's looking really good. Yeah. Yeah, well, I'll say this. If we're judging your performance based on improvement from last time, you are the greatest treasurer in the history of the nation. Granted, that's only because your last budget was one of the worst in the history of the nation, but... Yeah. Yeah, I have to go too. I've got, like business to do, but also... Oh, hey, before you go, do you think you could get me Peter Dutton's number? What? Yeah, I just want to ask him about, like, boats.
Hey, Lindsay in the house!
Nothing! What? I don't know!
Okay, are we ready to start the show?
Yeah, totally.
All right.
I can't find my keys, you guys.
Oh, I knew we should have got more cut. How are we going to start the podcast now?
Well, looks like we're off again this week.
No, wait. I can pick the lock. I learned how to back in 2013 when I was working as the guy that breaks into Clive Palmer's house and leaves clues about outlandish Chinese conspiracy theories for him to find. There we go.
Oh, good.
Okay, we ready? 3, 2, 1.
For having a go.
Interesting to see if he...
There's a Chinese spy.
Fair shake of the sauce bottle, mate.
Every dollar from the taxpayer.
So commit suicide, Tony Abbott, you know?
She'll be right.
Good on you, mate.
Astro's day follows night on Gloomy on 7, Planet of Unending Darkness. The Weekly Hour is back for another week.
Welcome to the program. This episode was brought to you by Racism, Australia's favourite pastime.
Our marketing department have suggested that the simple act of placing a good-looking person near the product you wish to advertise increases its desirability, which is why there are now scantily clad models placed strategically around the microphones this week.
I think this is a great strategy. Let's get some more oil on those abs.
I can't get close enough to my mic. There's a huge sexy butt in the way.
You'll fit in there. Here, oil up your face a little bit. And just squeeze on in there.
Comfy?
Not really.
Coming up on the Weekly Hour.
Former Palmer United Party Senator and man who looks like many men squished into one man, Glenn Lazarus, has risen from the political dead this week and filed paperwork with the Australian Electoral Commission to start his own party, the Glenn Lazarus Team.
The so-called Brick with Eyes has stated that my Glenn Lazarus team will support me in providing Queensland with the best representation possible, and will focus on tackling Queensland's high unemployment, crippling drought and the need for economic growth.
This makes Lazarus the second ex-Palmer senator to spin off, joining Jackie Lambie, who formed her own Jackie Lambie Network earlier in the year.
This move proves that while there may be no iron team, there is a brick with eyes on that in this team.
Sleep-deprived cane toad with a swollen tongue and federal treasurer, Joe Hockey, delivered his follow-up to the critically panned 2014 federal budget 2 weeks ago, but we didn't cover it because we were off last week. Now, we're covering it.
Yep, we promised you budget coverage, and we're going to give you budget coverage. This isn't like that time your stepdad promised he'd take you to Movie World on the Gold Coast, you see.
Let's dive in then, shall we?
What can we expect from this shiny new budget?
It looks like the government learned from the mistakes of the last budget, namely the entirety of the last budget, and have delivered...
A much less exhilarating budget for those who are budget devotees and structural reform enthusiasts.
The talk of debt and deficit disaster has disappeared, and so have most of the more controversial elements from last year's budget.
Newstart allowance recipients will now wait 4 weeks for the dole rather than the 6 months proposed last time.
The Medicare co-payment is no longer part of the plan, and Tony Abbott's so-called signature paid parental leave scheme has been completely scrapped.
The government has announced that the GST will be applied to online services, meaning that the cost of Netflix will balloon from really cheap to still really quite cheap. The so-called Netflix tax is expected to raise $350 million for the states in the first 2 years after it is introduced.
And the amount that small businesses will be able to claim in an instant asset write-off has been raised from $1,000 to $20,000. The government says that this will mean that small businesses will be able to buy things they need with our money and then make more monies and then stimulate the economy and then fix the whole book balancey problem thing what there is.
With this safer, less exhilarating budget, leftists around the nation were forced to ask themselves, would they prefer to see the government try to pass the kind of poor-kicking, inequitable budget reflecting the true far-right neoliberal ideologies of the modern-day Liberal Party, or a softer, more politically pragmatic one that might make them electable again in 2016?
But it's not all good news. Last year's hefty cuts in health and education funding to the states are still here this year, and Christopher Pyne's university fee deregulation plan is set to have yet another go.
Furthermore, the promise to return the budget to surplus has been put off until 2019 at the earliest.
We're certainly a long way from the days in opposition when Joe Hockey was going to deliver a surplus in his first year and every year subsequent, aren't we?
Yes, well, the iron ore price fell dramatically, so it's not really the government's fault. I mean, it's not like there's any alternative energy source to mining, which saw a 70% reduction in new investment under the Abbott government last year.
Mr. Hockey assures us that he's on a clear and credible path to surplus, though.
We are still on a clear and credible path back to surplus.
We are continuing with a credible path of fiscal consolidation.
Well, that's a relief. Let's see what else the Treasurer has to say about his budget.
The budget empowers small business to invest, grow and create jobs. This budget gives Australians the opportunity and the freedom to participate in the workforce no matter what their circumstances. This budget continues to implement our plan to build new roads, new rail and new infrastructure.
Oh, this budget sounds amazing.
Indeed. For more on doing talking about the 2015 budget, we go now to me, talking to Treasury spokesperson and official Joe Hockey cigar lighter, Phineas P. Crumsworthy.
What?
It's a recording, Lance. Phineas P. Crumsworthy, thanks for joining me for this interview that I recorded earlier.
Well, that's not true, Lindsay. You see, this is actually all about Labour's mess. They left us with... Oh, sorry, that's not how these things usually start.
I'm getting to that. So this budget is like the opposite of last year's budget. What's the deal with that?
Well, the last budget, you see, was all about economic repair. We had to fix Labour's debt and deficit disaster, and we did that.
I'll have to stop you there because, no, you didn't. You've slashed revenue by doing things like cutting the carbon tax and the mining tax, and you failed to get several key savings measures through the Senate because, well, of course you did, because they were widely considered to be unfair.
Now, I'm not a commentator, so I'm really not going to make any statements about that kind of speculation.
Oh, well, I guess you can just go ahead with your prepared answers, because I've lost my train of thought now.
I haven't. So, last year's budget was about economic repair. This year's budget was all about political repair.
I see. And what exactly did you need to repair, politically speaking?
Our hope of serving a second term in government. Given that our 2014 budget was not our... received in the positive manner we had expected, we needed this time around to simply abandon all of our previous rhetoric, as well as all the awful things we wanted to do to healthcare, education, welfare, and so on, in order to, fingers crossed, help the electorate to forget what miserable assholes we are.
So you admit that the last federal budget was a mistake?
Oh, absolutely not. Last year's budget was the foundation for this year's budget. We would never have been able to do the opposite of everything we tried to do last year without that solid foundation.
But half of the budget measures from last year didn't even manage to pass through the Senate. How can you say that you're building on its success?
Success, absolutely. We built this budget on success. Labour's debt and deficit disaster. I completely disagree. I agree. Clear and credible path to surplus.
Okay, then. Well, many commentators have said that this big taxing, big spending budget could have been a Wayne Swan budget. Given Mr. Hockey's repeated criticism of the former Treasurer, why has he delivered a budget that is spending at similar levels to the previous government and taxing even higher?
Well, frankly, I'm offended by the very idea. We are a government that believe in low taxes and small government.
Right, but this budget doesn't reflect that at all. Spending is up from 25.7% of GDP to 25.9% this year, and the tax take is set to rise from 22.3% to 23.4% of GDP in 4 years.
We're excited by the economic growth this budget will create. We're looking to give a growth spurt to small business in this country, but not in a Wayne Swan kind of way, you see. Wenge One is a dick. I hate that guy.
Well, what's the real difference then, Mr. Crumsworthy?
Well, Wayne Swan would never try to slash this much funding from education. Nor would he reduce Australia's foreign aid by the cartoonishly absurd amount that we have. Also, he'd be more dicky about everything generally.
Well, reception to last year's budget would suggest that you've been pretty dicky about everything too, Mr. Crumsworthy.
Oh, look, we got a bit excited. We got re-elected to government after 6 years, and after all that repeated lying to the electorate about our plans, it was such a relief to be able to just let loose on the Australian people with our far-right extremist ideology. You have to accept, Lindsay, that it was really tough for us to have to watch poor people not get kicked in the teeth at every opportunity for 6 long years. We had a lot of misplaced hatred to relieve.
Well, you've dropped the Medicare co-payment, you've dropped the paid parental leave scheme, and you've reduced the planned waiting period for Newstart allowance recipients. There are so many backdowns. Are there any terrible policies from last year left in this budget?
Of course there are, Lindsay. We are not a government that flip-flop around and abandon our principles at the drop of a hat. No! Oh, sorry about that, my hat fell off. Now where was I? Ah, yes. We are still absolutely committed to the deregulation of university fees, and we're still definitely planning on cutting that $80 billion of health and education funding to the states. We're also planning to screw backpackers visiting Australia on a working holiday visa by reducing their tax-free threshold to nothing. They now have to pay tax on every dollar they earn.
Is that going to raise much revenue, Mr. Crumsworthy?
No, not much. We just had to find a way to be mean to young people, and Labour won't let us do it to Australian youths.
Okay, well, that makes sense. I can barely even remember which young people you're planning to screw over.
Oh, not Australian ones.
Not Australian what?
Exactly.
Speaking of foreigners, the foreign aid budget has again seen extraordinary cuts. Aid to Indonesia has been cut by 40%, and aid to African countries has been slashed by an incredible 70%. This is the third enormous cut to the foreign aid budget since the coalition took government. My question is, does Foreign Minister Julie Bishop have anything left to do?
Oh, not really, no, but she's a woman, so we didn't expect much of her anyway.
What?
We're the Liberal Party, Lindsay.
Oh, sorry, I forgot.
Yes, Australians don't mind much if we rip foreign aid spending to shreds. We just mention ISIS, Middle Eastern people in general, really, and the electorate quickly forget that we're one of the richest countries in the world, but don't want to spend any of our wealth on the poorest ones.
ISIS? Terrifying.
See what I mean? We've even cut aid to Iraq, where ISIS are. No one cares.
Well, I certainly don't. Now, $140,000 of funding has also been taken from the Refugee Council of Australia. What was the justification for that decision?
Well, we needed the money to bolster surveillance and patrolling of Australia's borders. So it's in the general refugee area anyway.
Okay, well, let's turn to Newstart now. The 6-month waiting period has been reduced to 1 month. How did you arrive at that number?
Oh, well, Lindsay, we worked out the minimum amount of time the human body can survive for without food.
How long is that, and what about water?
Well, it's around 5 days for the average adult. We didn't factor in water because, unfortunately, we're not allowed to cut off people's water. Also, we think that most people would be able to find themselves a tap in a public bathroom, or at the very least a sizable puddle to drink from, on their hands and knees like a feral dog.
5 days. So, what about the remaining 25 days before these people have access to the doll?
Well, most supermarkets put fairly weak locks on their dumpsters. Where there's a will, there's a way.
Okay, let's move to the coalition's so-called path to surplus. You were going to return to surplus in 2014 and every year after, but now you're saying 2019 or 2020. So how's that going?
We have halved the deficit. So actually, you could say that we're really cool and impressive. Our measures have really worked, and the Australian people will be much better off forever now.
But you're still counting the revenue from measures that didn't even pass the Senate last year. Like the $80 billion from Christopher Pyne's university fee deregulation. Doesn't that mean you have even less chance of returning to surplus than you say you do?
Ah, yes, well, I'd love to answer that question. But I must be getting on now. I have a recording session to get to. I'm voicing Mayor Pelican in the gritty remake of Blinky Bill.
And now, a word from our sponsors.
I want to kiss your fremble, Miss Queensley. I want to caress it with my fire.
You cannot, for Why can there not be peace in our mind? Why?
Do you love because you are an anthropomorphized shark? Or because you touch magic?
I feel true. Everything is true.
Family first. Our policies make more sense than this advertisement. Just.
The Weekly Hour has received word this week from our sources at the Australian government about a new class of con manette working in Australia. We've tipped off the proper authorities and we're going to follow the story as it develops.
Yes, Lance, but not for much longer. Australian mothers who had been rorting the system and, let's face it, basically committing fraud by collecting both employer-funded maternity leave payments and a payment from the government will have half of that money ripped from their grubby, taloned, cash-hungry claws.
We're going to cross live now to our crime correspondent in the field, Bonnie Clydesdale, for the fact about a story which is developing right now. Bonnie, are you there?
Yes, Lance. I'm here in the Melbourne suburb of Kew, where tactical police have massed outside the house of a Mrs. Ginger Peach and her family.
I see. So what's going on? What did she do?
Well, as far as I understand it, Mrs. Peach has been collecting both maternity leave from her employer and from the government, which we all know is basically fraud.
Disgusting.
The police appear to be preparing to mount a raid on the house, and they are moving closer to the front door. Other officers have gone around to the back of the house, presumably to ensure that Mrs. Peach and her newborn child don't try to make a break for it. I'm going to get closer so that I can see inside the house when the police make their move.
Bonnie, has anyone expressed concern about the legality of this raid? I mean, I know that double dipping like this is basically fraud, but is it actually basically fraud?
Well, Lance, I don't know if you...
Freeze!
Oh, oh, the police have breached the front door. I've gone into the house.
What are you seeing, Bonnie?
The smoke is still clearing, but I can see the officers from the tactical unit have handcuffed Mrs. Peach and placed her newborn child, who I presume is being charged as an accessory to basically fraud, into a detainment crib. It looks as though justice is being served.
What can you tell us about the house, Bonnie? Give our listeners a bit of an idea as to how a criminal lives.
This appears to be a standard middle-class home. There are pictures on the walls, some colourful toys strewn around. It's difficult to tell which ones were funded by rorting the taxpayer and which ones weren't. The officers are bagging what appear to be baby supplies as evidence. I can see a platter of hummus and some celery sticks on the kitchen table. I haven't yet received confirmation at this stage, but I would be willing to speculate that Mrs. Peach has been double-dipping those two.
Despicable.
Yes, it's revolting. We'll get more on that story from Bonnie as it develops.
We'll be back after the break.
So I said to him, look, mate, I don't care how purebred you are or that you won Sexiest Dog Alive at Crufts twice. You can't bring these Blu-ray copies of Dark Shadows and Edward Scissorhands into the country without going through customs.
So is he going to ship them back to the States?
Well, you better. You've got 50 hours to do it or I'm going to have them formatted.
Ah, hold on. We're back. And we're back.
Earlier, we heard from our crime correspondent, Bonnie Clydesdale, who is covering a developing situation in Kew, where a Mrs. Ginger Peach was brought into custody for committing, basically, fraud. We're going to cross to her again to get an update on this situation. Bonnie?
Hello, Lance. I'm now standing outside a court in Melbourne, where a judge is currently hearing the case brought before them regarding a Mrs. Ginger Peach, her baby, and her finances, which amounts to, basically, fraud.
Uh-huh. So what is the mood like there today?
Well, the people testifying have already gone into the courtroom, and there aren't really many people out here at the moment. So I guess the mood is good, but plain.
Well, that's good, Bunny. So, what else is going on?
Oh, you know, not much. I'm just, oh, wait, they're coming out. There's something happening.
Ooh, what's happening?
Hold on, I'm going to get a statement. Hold on. Sir, sir, what can you tell me about the proceedings today? Give me a minute, Lindsay.
All right, let's go to an ad.
Come on down to Uncle Tone's Wholesale Tradie Supplies, where we're starting our budget sale. Uncle Tone is helping his tradies and small business owners to get new gear for their businesses, and we're the ones who'll sell it to you. All business purchases under $20,000 are now tax deductible, so get out here and spend up. It's on Uncle Tone. Need a new ute? Buy a brand new ute. for $19,999.99. A new desktop PC for the bookkeeper? $19,999.99. A new shovel? $19,999.99. Some stationery for the home office? Staplers, rulers, pens and pencils? All $19,999.99. For a limited time only, come in and get one of our small business packages consisting of a box of staples and half a pad of sticky notes for just $19,999.99.
Did you say $19,999.99?
That's right. Everything under $20,000. Why not just tell the ATO it was 20 and keep the cent for yourself? You can't afford not to. It's Uncle Tone's Wholesale Tradie Supplies. A clear and credible path to savings. Don't worry, it's on Uncle Tone. Let's see how Bonnie is getting on. Bonnie?
Okay, so here's the thing, guys. They threw the case out.
What?
Yeah, the judge just wouldn't hear it.
Oh, how come? Why?
Well, it turns out that fraud is only a crime when it's actually fraud. When it's just basically fraud, it's completely legal.
How could any fraud be legal? I just don't understand.
Well, when you put it that way, I guess, it's more that it isn't really fraud at all. It's just people taking advantage of systems and schemes that have been designed to support them when they're in a position of financial vulnerability. It's not really crime.
Huh. Well, you learn something new every day.
Corey Bernardi moved a motion in the Senate earlier this month to launch an inquiry into halal certification, probably to find out if it has any role in the funding of terrorism.
Bernardi claims that this was prompted by the growing number of Australians who are concerned about the number of certification schemes and the lack of transparency in relation to labelling, by which he means because he is a racist.
We cross live now to our roving correspondent Jamara Porkwell for the Goss.
That's right, Lance. I'm here at the Senate inquiry into halal certification where the mood is magically malicious as our robed representatives in the Senate are really roiling these reprehensible reprobates. If the inquiry goes as intended, these hex-harnessing halal certifiers will be burned, broiled and bristled over a blazing bundle of birchwood boughs for their involvement in such shady and supernatural satanic Sharia sorcery.
Hang on, so you're saying this is an actual witch hunt?
That's right, Lance. The Senate inquiry expects to expunge this human excrement from existence in the most excruciating way.
Human excrement? You can't say that. Not unless this is actually an inquiry into sewage management, and I've just misheard you so far.
That's right, Lance. However, those who are presumed to be perpetrators of this pernicious pork prohibitionist prestidigitation need not be perplexed at their predicament here. Those alleged halal certifiers who were found to be innocent of iniquity will be acquitted as soon as they've proven their morality by being catastrophically consumed in the Crooked Coalition countenance conflagration.
So if they burn to death, they'll be found not guilty?
That's right, Lance. I'm Jamara Porkwell for the Weekly Hour, the broadcaster that is on fire.
In a world where all hope is lost and apathy rules.
What? Who am I voting for? Yeah, I honestly don't give a shit. Yeah, nah, just gonna go get me sausage sizzle.
Where evil men tear at the very fabric of society.
Death cult.
Baddies versus baddies. Death cult.
It's not goodies versus baddies, it's baddies versus baddies.
Death cult.
Baddies.
It's a death cult.
One man stands before the baddies, vying to fight back.
The government's used the term Team Australia a lot. I'm worried about the emergence of Team Idiot.
It's too bad. He's not very good. From the creators of the box office sensation, Mad Max Fury Road, it's another dystopian future film set in Australia, only with way less women. 2016, the re-election. In cinemas now.
Avid listeners and people who have only listened to this episode, but also episode 21, will remember when a few weeks ago we spoke to Gail Wiltshire about the Consensus Centre, which was to be opened by Bjorn Lomberg with the University of Western Australia.
We had this to say.
The Consensus Centre is set to investigate the best ways to solve the big development issues that will be facing us.
Reducing carbon emissions? Phew!
Ah, but that's the catch. The centre's methodologies are going to be modelled on those of Copenhagen Consensus Centre, a foreign think tank directed by climate contrarian Bjørn Lomborg. Lomborg says we shouldn't be in a rush to fix the climate and that carbon pricing schemes aren't effective.
Oh, how the times they are a-changing. The University of Western Australia has responded to fierce criticism from those who were opposed to the centre's climate-ignoring founder and withdrawn its support.
We have Gail Wiltshire on the phone again to explain what has happened over there at the Consensus Centre. Gail, it's lovely to have you again.
Hello, Lance. How are you?
Gail, what's happening over there? What happened to the Consensus Centre?
Well, essentially what happened was that we reached a consensus that we didn't need a Consensus Centre.
So you all agreed that you didn't want to all agree?
That's right, yes.
So it's like a consensus against consensuses.
Exactly.
Does that pose any problems?
Well, it does kind of place us in an awkward position, considering our new unified anti-consensus stance.
Mm.
The fact that we simultaneously decided against consensuses.
I think you'll find that it's consensi.
And reached a consensus that has placed us and the entire University of Western Australia in a state of consensorian paradox.
Right, I've heard of that. That is a thing. Could you tell us, though, for the listeners, what happens when you're in a state of constabulatory facsimile?
Consensorian paradox, Lance.
That's what I said.
Well, there are a few side effects. We're now nearing a crisis in which, in order to reach an anti-consensus, we must have some members who do believe in the consensus centre, but then those members start converting others and we reach a consensus to establish the consensus centre again, at which point the outrage starts again and opinions switch back. This opinion changing is happening so fast that we're in danger of ending up in a state known as Schrödinger's opinion, where nobody knows what they're thinking about this whole issue until some unlucky bugger asks them. Our minds are pivoting from support to disgust and back so quickly that many of us are afraid that our heads might actually spin off like a levitating bottle cap in a Coke ad. It's very difficult to perform research under these conditions.
Huh. Well, I didn't catch any of that. How about you guys?
No, that was nonsense. Way too many words in there.
Cool. Kathix, bye.
Oh, bye.
Oh, look at that. We've come to the end of our 20 to 30 minutes, depending on how it comes out in the edit. Guess we'll have to wrap up here.
Aw, but I still wanted to talk about George Brandis's new glasses.
Well, we only have an hour, Thomas. Save it for next week.
I hate next week.
And so we'll say goodbye for this week. But don't touch that dial, because there is no dial. There was never a dial.
The Weekly Hour was produced in Melbourne, Australia. This episode was written by Lance Turnbull, Luke Webb, Lindsay Mottram, and Thomas Gibbons. Thomas, Lance, and Lindsay were voiced by Lance, Lindsay, and Thomas. Gail Wiltshire was voiced by Cherise Sonkiller. Bonnie Clydesdale was Anna Eastley. Check her shit out at honoreastly.com. Our logo was designed by Alison Johnson and Lance Turnbull. Music by Lance Turnbull. The Weekly Hour was produced by Luke Webb and edited by Lance Turnbull.
Oh, that was a bad one. Hold on, one more.
Yeah, yeah. Can we, hang on, I just come up with a funny joke.
Yeah.
Can we say, like, a spin-off? No, it's not funny.
Former Palmer United Party senator and man who... okay, none of that, Thomas.
None of that today.
I completely disagree.
Sorry, laughing at my own stupid joke.
And the entire University of Western Australia in a state of consensorian...
Not a word, don't worry. And solve most of the more controversial elements from last year's budget.
You said controversial elements.
I was like, synergy.
Word synergy.
Oh, fuck me, man. This whole thing is just fucked. I hate this show. Okay.